stories to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, the Word of God says He came to be yours, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19, and verse 10. What a glorious day that it is, the day of the airing of this program. For the first time, it's Easter, and may I say to you, Happy Easter. What a great day this is. Listen, this day, bless God, this day sets Jesus above and beyond every other founder of any other religion in all the world that there is. Listen, every founder of every religion lived and died, but ours, Christianity, the Christians' founder is the only one that lives again, and how wonderful that is. Now, don't forget that Christianity is birthed out of Judaism, so I want you to know there's a hope for them. Hey, they may not know their Messiah lives, but He does. They're looking for Him the first time. We're looking for Him to come back the second time, but I'll tell you, when He comes, He'll reveal Himself to them. He'll reveal Himself to them, and Zechariah says they'll weep as they see Him. The prints of the nails in His hands, they'll weep for Him as one who lost a firstborn son. Well, I'm happy to be here, excited about the message. Look, I've got my Bible marked in two places. The book of John's Gospel, chapter 3. That's where I'm going to be sharing my text verse from. Then I'll be looking over in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Now, some of you Bible readers already know what that is, but if you care to look in John chapter 3, Numbers chapter 21 is where I'll be going really quick. I'll be back in a minute with the message after Debbie does this, the mystery of the cross.
He stood there before Pilate, this king of the Jews. People crying out, crucify. He brought Jesus to Pilate. He said, I find no fault in Him, but I'll deliver one to you, but one will have to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown? Then released Barabbas, then he delivered up Jesus into the hands of sinful men. Then they nailed His hands and feet to the rugged cross. I can't help but wonder why this king had to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story for me? It's all David's king would lay down his life to bleed and die for me. I will never understand it, though this king has set me free. It's all such a great mystery. It's all such a great mystery.
Well, thank God for it. I'll tell you what, friend, there's a lot of mystery in the cross, especially those 3 hours of darkness when God pulled the veil down and God, with God, did eternal business for me and you. Debbie, thank you for the beautiful song. Well done. My, what a great truth there is in that. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 14. And listen to what the Word of God says. Familiar passage of Scripture to all you that are Bible readers. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, Jesus used this passage of Scripture, made a reference to an event and a series of things that took place in the wilderness with the nation of Israel after they had been released from bondage as they were headed towards the land of promise. And we'll look at that and what a great thing it is for God to give commentary on His own Word, on the Word of God. I doubt seriously that anybody in that day that was bitten by those serpents that have that sting, have that burning sting from that bite, that had death sentence placed upon them out in the wilderness when they had rebelled against God, when they had sinned against God. And when Moses sought God for a cure and God told Moses what to do, I doubt any of them understood that Jesus would reach back 1,500 years later and say, "Hey, fellas, let me tell you something. That which happened back there in the wilderness of sin, I want to explain it. I want to use this to help you understand what I'm saying when I say God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." Jesus said, "Hey, in order to explain my crucifixion, I'm going to give you a type in the Old Testament. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Look, I want to talk to you today, the Lord willing, for just a little while. This message is a blessing to me. It's a simple message. The Lord knows it's a simple message, but it's profound. And I want to talk to you about this. There's just one cure. There's just one cure." There was one time an old country preacher got called to visit a family member that was in the hospital. This family, this preacher had talked to them for years. I mean to tell you, he'd witnessed to them, he'd been to their house, he'd preached to them, he'd preached some of the funerals of the family. And he tried his best to get them to be saved and give their life to Jesus. None of them seemed to care. Everybody refused. Everybody rejected that preacher, his advances, his pleadings, his beggings, his tears. They were an ornery bunch. They were sinners just like me and you, sir. That's what I'm trying to illustrate. Me and you, ma'am. And one day old John got bit. He was one of the boys of that family. Well, they took old John to the hospital. He was swelling up, looked like a pumpkin in October. And he was swelling up something fierce, as they might say. I mean, he was in bad shape. Listen, that snake's venom was in him. I'm telling you, he had the sentence of death on him. Somebody got the idea and said, "Call the preacher. Call the preacher. We've heard him pray. We felt the power in that preacher's prayer. Call the preacher." Well, that pastor was happy to get a call from him. He wasn't real happy what had happened. He got down to the hospital and said, "Preacher, you have to pray for John or he's going to die. Oh, preacher, you're going to do something. Call on God. Pray, preacher, or John's going to die." That preacher said, "I'll be glad to pray." And he bowed his head and said, "God, I want to thank you today for the privilege of prayer, and I want to thank you, God, that you allowed that snake to bite old John. God," about that time, listen, I said, "Wait just a minute, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? What do you mean praying?" And said, "God, I'm thankful that you allowed that snake to bite old John." And that preacher looked up at him and said, "Listen, I've been trying to win you to Christ. I've been trying to reach you for Christ for a long time. And listen, it took God to allow John to get bit by a snake to get me here, to get you all ready to listen, to get you all open to the need of prayer, the need of salvation, of the grace of God. And I'm happy that old John got bit." Hey, friend, I'm telling you today, you've been been bitten, sir. You've been bitten, ma'am, by the serpent of sin. It's so obvious. Even I can understand that. I'm telling you, friend, listen. That serpent's bite. That serpent's bite. We've all been bitten by it. We've all felt its sting. If you ever had a warm tear to run or down your cheek, you have felt, bless God, the sting of sin. If you've ever felt a broken heart at the loss of a loved one that died in death, you felt the sting of sin. If you've ever felt disappointed or hurt in some way because something bad happened, you felt the sting of sin. And like the preacher said, oh God, I'm glad that old John got bit by that snake. Hey, listen, friend. There's only one cure, do you hear? There's only one cure, thank God. Listen, this story in the book of Numbers and this word story, listen, it's not something made up. It's an exact account of what happened when the children of Israel were making their way to the promised land. It was nearing the end of the journey, nearing the end of their 40 years in the wilderness. They began to murmur one more time. They began to murmur against Moses and against God. Oh, listen. And when God heard him, God said this. He didn't do what he normally did. Don't have time to explain that now. He just sent a bunch of serpents in their midst. The Bible said Numbers 21, 5 through what is it might be, all down along about 20, if you will. It stops, at least the story does, about verse 10. But you know what he did? Listen, when they begin to say, our soul loathes this light bread. Hey, we're sick and tired of angels' food. We're sick and tired of that manna that comes from heaven. We're sick and tired of the diet that you give us. Do you know what happened? God sent fiery serpents among the people. I mean, began to bite them. And look, the Bible said, and much people died. Hey, listen, folks. God is judging our sin. God is judging the fact that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is judging us. In fact, in light of the fact that in Adam and Eve we all died, in light of the fact that Adam and Eve, friend, we've all come under the condemnation of God, there is a sentence of death upon us. God sent this to illustrate, and God sent this to judge, and judge He did in this chapter. In this record of this event, God sets forth the sins of man. He sets forth the judgment of God. And He sets forth, listen to me, please, everybody listening, say amen right now. Hey, He sets forth the only cure for that problem. The only cure, bless God, that God had for the bite of the serpent in the wilderness, God told Moses what it was. Now look, let's look at this really, really quick. I wish I had time to read it, but I want you to know how the people knew that they were bitten. Do you hear me? Look, sir, ma'am, look. You know there's something wrong in your life. You know there's something missing. You know there's got to be more to life and than what you are living and experiencing. And I want you to know after the Lord sent those fiery serpents among the people, they began to bite them. They began to die. The people, listen, came to Moses. And they said this in verse 7, we have sinned. We've spoken against the Lord. We've disobeyed Him. We've upset Him. And really, we deserve to die. But you know what they said? Moses, go to God. See if He won't bring a cure. Go to God, Moses, and see if He won't take care of these serpents. So look, number one, I want you to realize that that Israel's murmuring got them into trouble. Their murmuring depicts their sin. Their murmuring depicts their rebellion. Their murmuring depicts their shaking their fist in the face of God, or thumbing God their nose at God, or them going away, bless God, from the grace of God, the goodness of God, the provision of God, and the bounty that God gave them. I want you to know it's a picture of mankind fallen, depraved in his nature. Oh, look, friend, depravity doesn't mean we all do as bad as we can, but it does mean we're all as bad off as we can be. It means we're all in need of a Savior. In the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, how the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So look, Israel's mummering as a nation. They were good at it. They had practiced it. They had done it time and time again. It speaks of the fact, friend, listen, that mankind is a sinner. He's in need of a Savior. The whole world has been bitten by the snake. But look, let's go on. And number two, look at God's response. God, listen, God is gracious. Do you hear? I mean, tell you, God responds to Moses' prayer. God responds to mankind's need. But can I tell you something? Listen, His response is a righteous response. When they murmured, He sent judgment on them. When they disobeyed, bless God, they reaped the benefits and the fruit of their disobeying. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, desired federal help, doing what we would have done had we been there, had the same opportunity, the same chance they did. That's what being a federal head of humanity means. Adam and Eve did what Tom and Debbie would have done, or what you would have done, sir, ma'am, had you been there. And God's response was righteous. God is right in condemning the sinner. God is right in sending the judgment of death upon mankind. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, when God condemned Adam and Eve in the garden, when God placed a curse upon them, when God run them out of the garden, He was right and righteous in doing that very thing. Not only is God righteous, but listen, friend, the serpent has its sting. Isn't that amazing? Oh, look, I don't know how that serpent, I hate snakes. I loathe snakes. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you, I hate to see pictures of them. I hate talking about them. I hate imagining things about them. Hey, listen, friend, I hate a snake. I have all, when God said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman to Satan there in the garden, I took it literally. Do you hear me? You say, preacher, don't you handle snakes? Yeah, I do. Either the end of a rake or a hoe, a shovel, a sand rock, or an 8 millimeter, or 9 millimeter, amen. All right, there. Some of you like that. Some of you won't. I'm this serpent. I don't know what it looked like. But I'll tell you what, I do know what the bite was like. It was fiery. It burned. It stung. Do you hear? And hey, listen. You know what? When somebody got bit with that serpent that had a fiery bite, that stung, that burned like fire, they were to die. Do you hear me? They were to die when enough people died. When enough people died in that camp, in the nation of Israel, it got people's attention, said, Moses, we're in trouble. Can you do anything? Can you intercede? Can you go to God? Listen, can you stop this pain? Can you bring about a change? Listen, they were in a mess, were they not? They were in a mess throughout the camp. Do you hear me? Throughout the camp, from the edges of it to the center of it, there was the serpent. There was its sting. There was its burning. There was its fire. There was its pain. There was its death. Do you know the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die? If you have no other way of believing, the Word of God is true. Look at an obituary. Visit a cemetery, and you'll come to realize that the Word of God is true. I look, friend, we've got Israel's murmurings. We've got God's response, and we've got the serpent and its sting. And here's the challenge, and it's yours, friend. It is all yours. You know when those children of Israel got stung? Want me to tell you the first thing they had to do in order to be cured? It's to realize they were stung. It's to admit and say, boy, I'm stung. Now look, you can get stung and say, I'm all right. Look down at your foot and it's swollen up, three times bigger than its normal size. You feel the burn like you've got your foot stuck in a hot pan on a stove. Hey, you can say, oh, I'm alright. I'll be okay, but death is sure to take you. Do you hear me? You want me to tell you what? When you begin to be bit by a serpent, it's just a little thing. Doesn't look like much, but you let it go unchecked and it'll consume you. The poison of sin gets in your body, gets in your mind, gets in your spirit, gets in your hand. hands, in your feet, gets in your eyes, in your ears, in your mouth. It goes all over you, friend. It goes all through you. Now look, the challenge is to admit that you've been bitten. Look, all you got to do, sir, is admit that you're a sinner today. You say, I'm not a bad sinner. That's not what I said. The Bible said, not Tom Price, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. In another place it said, there's none righteous. No, not one. All you got to do is admit you're bitten. Accept the reality of the fact that you've been in bitten, and then embrace the cure. Now look, let me tell you something. Without question, you've got to embrace the cure. You've got to accept it by faith. You've got to take it for what God said to be true, and just do what God told you to do. Look, friend, that you've got to understand that. You have got to accept the cure without questioning. And here's what the cure is. I've got to hurry, boy. I'd like to have a lot more time on these programs, but I don't, so I've got to do the best I can do with it. Not only is there a challenge, but look at the cure, thank God. But can I tell you, everybody listening right now, say amen. There's only one cure. Only one cure. Doesn't matter what you try. Didn't matter what they tried in the wilderness. They could have got a salve and put on it. They could have cut down some kind of leaves and put some kind of a natural ointment on it, or tried a natural cure. You know what? It wouldn't work. They still died. They still died regardless of what they tried. They still died. I imagine that mommy held their kids close to the bosom until they died. I imagine daddy said, listen, I'm tough. I can overcome this with positive thinking. That bite isn't really a bite. That sting isn't really a sting. I'm going to live. And he died. I'm telling you, somebody might have gone to a witch doctor, might have gone to somebody that was religious and say, baptize me. I'm going to die if you don't. Somebody might have went to a group and said, look, I'm going to join your group or I'm going to die. I've been bitten. I've been stung. And if I don't join your group, I'm going to die. You want me to tell you something? Everybody got baptized or washed, or everybody went to some other group and said, I want to join your group. They died. Do you hear me? And other people say, I'll tell you what. I heard what Moses said. I heard Moses say, look, if you'll just look at this brazen serpent, if you'll just look at this image of that thing that brought the curse, it'll bring the cure. You don't have to understand it. All you got to do is look. I can imagine they said, well, I'm not going to look at that silly thing. Anybody ever heard anything any more silly than that? All you got to do is look and live. Hey, all you got to do is look at that brazen piece of that piece of brass that was fashioned like unto a serpent, like unto a snake. These things crawling on the ground. Well, look, that thing that was up on that pole was looked like the image of that thing that caused my problem. I'm not going to look at it. Hey, somebody else might say, hey, now listen. I'll look if you explain it to me. If you answer all my questions, if you satisfy all of the doubts that I have, I mean to tell you, if you explain to me exactly how that works, I'll tell you what, I'll look. Now let me say something, sir. Let me say something to you, ma'am. Listen, all you gotta do is look and live. That's what Isaiah said. Look and live, 45:22. Look unto me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved. That's what this says. There's just one cure. It's not in religion. It's not in something a man fosters or man creates. It's in looking. It's looking to Jesus and live. Now listen. That serpent in the wilderness would extend physical life, but people eventually died. But if you look at Christ at Calvary, if you look at that bleeding, dying Savior that was suspended between the heaven and the earth as our substitute, mine and yours, where God laid upon Him my sin and your sin and the sin of all the world, you can be saved. He'll give you eternal life. If the children of Israel in the wilderness looked at that brazen serpent upon that pole, look, they were healed. The sting of that bite went away. I mean to tell you, the swelling went down. The problem went down. The fever went down. I mean to tell you, they lived on. And that's the way it is spiritually here, preacher or friend. If you just listen to this old country preacher, listen, bless God, you can be saved. It's not in being baptized, not being confirmed, not in church membership, not in doing all those things that are important after you get saved, but it doesn't produce salvation. addiction, all you got to do is look, the cure. There's just one. His name is Jesus. Listen, this man Jesus is the last Adam. He's the last Adam, if you will. He came in the image of the first Adam. He became like Adam. He became a man while he was still God, and he died on a cross at a place called Calvary, so sinners like me and you could be saved. You say, preacher, it can't be that simple. Yes, it can. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that, get this, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ephesians 2 and 8, He said, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible said, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, I'll tell you, if you'll call on Him today, if you'll look to Him, if you'll say, God, I'm bitten, I'm a sinner, I need saved, God will save you today. Call on Him now, would you, under the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.